the gentlemen and ladies from IPID. We're happy to have you here. And because this is not the first time we're meeting, as you can see, the faces are very familiar. There'll be no reshuffle. So we will not start with, you know, the normal introductions to know who is here, and all that. Now, comrades, what we're going to do will allow IPID to make a presentation. Very, very unusual for us, you know, but we'll try and listen and concentrate. I've gone through the presentation, and I'm sure most of my comrades, if not all of them, have done so. So what we'd like you to do is to be able to lift out and talk to issues, because remember, we had a meeting where you made this presentation out of the commitment that we made to you late last year that we want you to come out of the shadows, not feel like you're the poor cousins of the establishment, because you have been established in terms of legislation. You have a role and a responsibility to play, a contribution to make in ensuring that the police are as clean as they should be. Because you'll recall that our main concern was we want the police to assist us in fighting corruption. But if they themselves are a haven of corruption, then they will not be able to fulfill that responsibility. And that's where you come in, to clean up the police so that the upright policemen and women can be useful to us as parliament in terms of fighting for good governance. It is in that context that we have this great interest in seeing you being afforded your place in the sun, so to speak, and to make sure that you do your work and do your work well. We promised you last week when we were meeting with CETA that we will make time, and indeed we made time today so that you can come and talk to us. We want to thank you very much for making time to be with us. We will be in your hands, because you are not strictly the accused in that sense. If your presentation and explanation of proceedings are clear, clean, well, we'll have an early day. But if there are a few issues that require clarification, I'll allow comrades to to do so. So if we are all together on this, comrades, will allow IPID to talk to their presentation, which we all have, and then we can take it up from there. Yeah, we in your hands.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable members, good morning. My name is Matthew Sosoko. I'm the National Head of Investigations for IPID. Chairperson, I must first start by apologizing for the Executive Director. I'm aware that he had already sent his apologies for not being available today, and he has delegated me to lead the delegation that you see before you today. With me in the delegation is Mr. Dlamini on my right, who is the our national spokesperson. I've got Mr. Kuba on my left, who is the task team leader. I've got Ms. Marianne Morasi, who is the head of our legal services. I've got Mr. Mandla Matlango, who's one of the task team members investigating these matters. And I've got Ms. Teresa Botha, who is one of the task team members involved in the investigation, as well as Colonel Rudolph Se, who is the member of the TPCI, also a part of the task team that is investigating these matters.
Where is Brigadier Van Gran? Right. Okay. That's fine. It's representing the SAFS, legal services.
Mm-hmm.
All right, sure.
Thank you, Chairperson. As you indicated that you've seen the presentation or some of the issues in the presentation before, I'll put out salient features of the presentation. On the second slide of the presentation, we indicate how the investigation actually started. We started this investigation based on the allegation of a corrupt relationship between General Pahlane and a service provider, a crime tech and criminalistic, owned by Henry Deal and Jolanda Komolodovic. And the suspected or the amount involved in that alleged corruption is 96 million. And then whilst we were busy with that investigation, we then picked up a relationship between this company, criminalistic, crime tech and criminalistic, which was linked to the FDA in terms of transactions that we picked up from the bank statement of criminalistic and crime tech. And that's how we started zooming into FDA. And as a result of that investigation, we came across then a massive corruption involving FDA and the members of the SAPS. And we indicated that the estimated amount, we have not quantified it, exact amount there, but we estimate it could be around 5 billion rand there. And as part of that continuing investigation, we also picked up a corrupt relationship which involved General Shezi. As part of our investigation, then we had pushbacks that were coming through, and we started investigating allegations of defeating the ends of justice against General Makele, as well as torture and murder and defeating the ends of justice against Mabula team. And there were also allegations of corrupt relationship between a Captain KGB Shabalala, General Nema Tenzela, from crime intelligence. And then there's also a corrupt relationship between members of the CI that was investigating involving a company called iView and members of the CI, as well as a corrupt relationship involving the same iView, as well as members of the CI. The amounts involved there is 54 million and 45 million respectively. And then we'll also brief you also on the Marikana investigation. With regard to the Pahlane investigation, as we've indicated, these investigations are in twofold. We term them Pahlane 1 and Pahlane 2 investigation. And Pahlane 1 is the one relating to the house. The allegation here is that the corrupt relationship with the company criminalistic and crime tech involved gratification to General Pahlane with regard to the building of his house. And then on the one relating to FDA and kitting, it involves equipment that was bought by SAPS, Rolfin Lights, and other software. And then we have also a gentleman called Juran Suleiman who facilitated this corruption. The next slide shows it's a schematic representation of General Pahlane as the main player there. And you have chemicals that relate to criminalistic and crime tech. And then the benefit there was the house. And then you've got Rolfin Lights, which were procured from FDA. And the benefit there was vehicles. In the next slide, we try to put some detail into the corruption. in relation to Pasani 1 investigation with Crimelistic and Crimetech. And basically, our investigation shows that there were monies that were paid to the contractor who was engaged by General Pasani to build the house, but there is no corresponding evidence of monies paid to the contractor by General Pasani. However, from the service provider, Crimetech and Crimelistic, we were able to pick up those monies that were withdrawn, and around the same time these monies were withdrawn is when the contractors were paid by General Pasani in cash, and those amounts correspond to the amounts that were withdrawn, and they were paid around the same time that they were withdrawn from this company. Now, this investigation is it's completed. We were waiting for the forensic report, which is now complete. The matter will be going to the prosecutors for decision. With regard to Pasani 2, is the one relating to the gratification of vehicles. We indicate we picked up in this investigation that Pasani received vehicles from this service provider Kit Kitting, and the wife of General Pasani also received vehicle, as well as the sister of General Pasani received vehicle. He also received massive trading discounts in relation to this. At the same time, that is when the SAPS was busy with a procurement of roofing lights. That is a transaction we briefed the committee about late last year, where there was a transaction that happened in one day amounting to over 50 million. This matter, General Pasani and his wife and Mr. Jurens Neyman, who was the facilitator of the corruption in relation to the vehicles, were actually appeared in court on the 2nd of February for corruption, fraud, and money laundering. And then on the 7th of June, the matter was provisionally withdrawn. And the reason for the matter to be provisionally withdrawn is because prosecution applied that the matter be postponed further. However, because the magistrate felt that it shouldn't be postponed further, we decided to withdraw the matter provisionally. And the reason being that we still had forensic reports that we were awaiting the final reports on. You'll see from that slide that the Sizwe Nsaluba Koboda report, we only received it on the 10th of July. We already had the report from Koboda Forensic Investigative Accounting, and then we still had to receive the report from Bowman's, which we finally received on the 22nd of June. And also linked to that was the fact that we also needed to add the other accused, which we believe that should form part of the people that must be prosecuted in this matter. And these accused, which we believe are to be added, is Mr. Kitting, General Shez, Brigadier Masuku, Lieutenant Colonel Patrick, Mr. Billy Smith, and Josephine Pasani, that is Pasani's sister, who was one of the people who received vehicles. And there was also information from Namibia that needed to be verified. Our team was there last week when we appeared, and we've received very valuable information also in relation to that. The next slide, I will not talk much to it, is basically a schematic representation of how people are linked to the corruption in this matter. And then the next slide talks to the counter-investigation that was perpetrated against ourselves. Now, as part of the investigation that we are embarking on against General Phahlani, then we then had this counter-investigation where General Phahlani got this Mabula team to investigate our investigators under the pretext that there was a security breach at his home. These matters are with the prosecuting authority. One of the matters that involve General Makele, she appeared in court, and because of the application that was made by her lawyers, the matter was also provisionally withdrawn because there's information that they needed, and the prosecutor felt that the NDPP, the TPP was the one who has to make a decision with regard to that. However, we've received feedback from the TPP that they'll be giving us a new date for General Makele to appear on that matter. The other matters, they still have to decide on. Some of them they had initially decided to not to prosecute. They've indicated that they would decide on the prosecution of those defeating the ends of justice matters after they've made a decision on the corruption matters. However, our view was that there should have been a prosecution on those matters, and we requested that they must review those decisions. Part of what we did in relation to the interference that was happening in relation to the counter-investigation, we launched a court application against the Mabula team to get a declarator that they should be interdicted from interfering with our investigation. And then around June, we got a judgment against them. I must indicate, Chairperson, the judgment was also with costs, that they were supposed to pay our costs. And a part of the judgment was to the effect that Parliament must also consider an amendment to SAPS Act to look at this issue of a counter-investigation against our investigators. Chairperson, our Act, IPED Act, provides for how our investigators must conduct investigation, including issues of a conflict of interest, to the effect that our investigators cannot investigate matters where they have interest on. So, unfortunately, there is no such similar provision in the SAPS. Hence, the judge felt that that issue should be also looked at. Next slide, I've already spoken about General Makele matters. The next slide talk to the allegations on General Shezi. As part of the investigation, we're able to establish that General Shezi received gratification from a service provider in Zika to the amount of 793,000 for the building of a house or renovation of a house. Now, our investigation also revealed that there was a relationship between this company in Zika and FDA. We found a transaction, for instance, a transfer of an amount of 20 million rands from Inzika to FDA. So during the period when there is this gratification to General Shezi, these companies were receiving contracts from TMS where General Shezi is based. We've made recommendations for disciplinary action and suspension of General Shezi. We are aware that General Shezi has subsequently been suspended, and we are not sure at this stage what the progress is with regards to the disciplinary action against General Shezi. We expect to also add General Shezi when we take back the matter to court in relation to the Pahlane and FDA matters. The other investigations that we're looking at are in relation to crime intelligence, and there's a service provider, iView. iView, we picked up a corrupt relationship with members of CI with an amount of 54 million, and then we also picked up another corruption that was about to happen involving 45 million for purchase of grabbers, and then we also have an investigation in relation to Captain KGB and the General Nematenzela involving blinds for an amount of 563,000. Now, in relation to the 54 million corruption, it's for the procurement of software Ridja, and then and Daedalus. Now, these software packages that were bought by crime intelligence, they were basically no value for CI in our view, and we believe that they were inflated. We've picked up that there's been corruption with this service provider, iView. These investigations are currently not complete. We still struggle with relation to declassification of documents in relation to the procurement documents that relates to these software packages that were bought by SAPS. We've been in contact also with the originators of these software packages, Rincha and Daedalus, who are overseas, and they've already made an indication to us that the prices were highly inflated in relation to these packages. We also got information that there was an approach to the current divisional head of CI to pay for a server for an amount of 5 million. Fortunately, the divisional commissioner contacted us wanting to know if there was such a thing. We've indicated that we are not aware of such a thing, and in fact, the service providers indicated that there was no such service which would require such an amount. The other matter in relation to the 45 million is alleged that they wanted to procure a grabber, and which grabber is said to be worth between 7 and 10 million, but it was supposed to be procured for 45 million. When we became aware of this information, I personally contacted or had communication with General Sithole in relation to this issue, made him aware that we are aware of this issue, and the intended procurement, which is corrupt. And in fact, when we started the investigation on IV1, we had indicated to the police that they must stop doing any deals with IV, because we believe that this company was involved in corrupt activities. However, there was that attempt to do this transaction. After we've interacted with General Sithole, and we wrote General Sithole on the 15th of December, that transaction was stopped. And we as part of this investigation, then we also requested documentation in relation to the invoices and memorandum in relation to the procurement of these systems, as well as the grammar. However, as we had previously indicated, that we had difficulty getting these documents under the pretext that these documents are classified. Now, we've indicated that the MIS document is very clear that classification cannot be used to hide criminality, corruption, and maladministration. But the SAPS still insists that we cannot have this document. After we had engaged SAPS management, we've written to the minister. We've engaged with IGI, who also advised that this information that we are requesting is information that is not of a national security nature, because it's purely procurement information, and that can be made available to us. Still, it was not made available to us. We then, in terms of the powers that we have as IPT, we applied for 205 to compel that these documents can be provided to us and be declassified. However, the SAPS challenged our 205. This matter is now before courts. We will be litigating on this matter. In fact, we hope to get a declarator also in relation to having these matters declassified. As part of this investigation, we are also able to establish that there's what we now term IView 3, where there's also an allegation of a corrupt relationship with this service provider in relation to bulletproof vests, which were procured by SAPS at highly inflated prices of 33,000 per bulletproof. We're still busy with this investigation. The next slide, Chairperson, is just an update on the Marikana investigation. That happened in 2016. We have in this investigation, we have had already General Pembe, Colonel Vermaak, Warrant Officer Mohale, Warrant Officer Mkavela, Sergeant Ngunye, and Sergeant Sikwenyela appearing in court on different charges, including murder and contravention of Section 62 of the Commissions Act, as well as attempted murder. And they will be appearing again in court on the 12th of September. The incidents that happened on the 16th of August, we're still awaiting a decision by the prosecuting authority. The matter is still with them. That decision will also indicate to us a way forward in relation to reconstruction of Scene 2, as per the Commission's recommendation that you must reconstruct that scene. However, because we did not have the budget allocated to that, we could not do the reconstruction. So the DPP was of the view that they would go through the docket that we've investigated and establish the evidence that we have. Based on that, they will then advise us how best to deal with that matter. Chairperson, on slide 26, in relation to litigations, we just give an update on the litigations that we've embarked on. The first one was the one I've already indicated in relation to counter investigation, which we have won with costs. And SAPS was ordered that they must remove these investigators who are countering our investigation, and that Parliament should consider amending SAPS legislation with regard to this counter investigation. The other litigation involved in is in relation to the search and seizure. As we've previously indicated, we conducted a massive search of all these role players, Kit Keating and his companies, as well as the facilitator, Durance Lehman, and General Pahlane. However, Kit Keating and Durance Lehman are challenged our search and seizure. We got judgment on this matter in August, where the judgment was in our favor in relation to that. And they were also ordered to pay costs in relation to this matter. However, our legal team has informed us that they have noted an appeal. We're not sure when the appeal will then be heard. But it's clear to us that this is part of the tactic to ensure that we delay getting the matter to court, because, of course, there's damning evidence in relation to what was seized from them. And the other matter in relation to litigation is the one I've already alluded to on our 205 application for declassification, which the SAPS is challenging. And we are defending this matter, and we're also confident that the judgment here in this or will the judgment in this matter will also be in our favor, because we believe that we are in a strong legal position as it relates to that. And then the next slide talks to persistent interference. I mean, what has been happening now is that despite the judgment that we have, our investigators, as we've indicated, have now been approached with a promise of senior positions in the SAPS, with a view to compromise our investigation and falsely implicate the entire team in some wrongdoing. There has also been a two Twitter accounts that have been used. One is called Men Not Beruru, one is called Child Wells, where they push narratives there that push the narrative to say there is something wrong that we are doing with our investigation. One of our investigators, Mr. Mahlangu, sitting there, is one of those that was approached with the promise of a brigadier position if we could falsely implicate IPIT management and the entire task team in some wrongdoing. Fortunately for him, he came forward with that information to IPIT management, and fortunately also recorded these conversations with the police who were approaching him, including the Mabula team. We subsequently opened a criminal investigation also in relation to that approach, because we believe that it's another way of gratification when you promise our investigators a senior position in exchange for falsely implicating our investigators. So that investigation is continuing. One of our investigators who has turned, Mr. Nkabinde, he's on suspension, will be doing a disciplinary hearing. I think it's set for the 19th of this month. So he's one of those that obviously has accepted the offers from of that gratification. So in conclusion, Chairperson, as we've indicated, I think our work in relation to this, especially as related to this general, it has shown that there's a need to strengthen legislation, especially as it relates to Intelligence Oversight Act, SAPS Act, as well as our Act, to ensure that these impediments that we've been experiencing in relation to our investigation of these matters are dealt with. We believe that the fight against corruption cannot be successfully done when you have a situation where people that are at the highest level in the police can abuse their power to detract us from doing the work that we're supposed to be doing. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. There we are, comrades. Can you talk to the...
Sorry, Chair, before we go to questions, I don't think Mr. Zucker's done a full job. Isn't there a Marikana section of the report? Did you speak to it?
I did talk to it.
I just did not give the entire detail because at the last presentation you also talked to it. So I just talked what is the current status in relation to that.
All right. All right. That's fine. Any issues for clarification? I'll start with KZN Hlengwa, then Team, then Mpumalanga, Comrade Boy, I don't know where you come from. Gauteng, Eastern Cape, Western Cape, and then Comrade Kuno. Okay, Hlengwa.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. I just want the reconstruction of the of Scene 2, so far as Marikana is concerned, has been a matter which has been on the agenda time immemorial now. And I am beginning to think that the reasons being advanced are not as genuine as they may be, they made out to be. So maybe then IPID can help us in terms of who we must speak to, so we can bring this matter to a logical conclusion. It cannot be that every time IPID is here, Chair, this matter is recurring and persistently there. As far as I'm concerned, this is a deliberate sabotage of what is fundamentally one of the most crucial steps in meeting out justice insofar as the Marikana matter is concerned. So I just would want, Chair, that IPID delve into this matter and probably provide the paper trail of correspondence in terms of what is being sent. But we cannot in good faith sit here and accept what is going on. Something is amiss. I see a deliberate derailment of this process. So can we just talk deeper into it, into how far you are and what the stumbling blocks are, or who the stumbling blocks are? Because it could very well be that there are parties with a vested interest in ensuring that justice in this regard does not materialize. So it's the first issue, Chair. And then maybe, Chair, on a related but not related matter, we've just had the unfortunate killing of another student at TUT, Andres Moraneng. And it speaks to a pattern of inadequacies in terms of public order policing is concerned. And I think the Falun Commission also made some serious findings in that regard. Now, I raise this, Chair, to IPID to say, although it may not have been part of the presentation, but to take the opportunity since they're here, to take us to what, in their findings, what are they finding to be the shortcomings? This kind of ill-trained police force or police service, which consistently and persistently at every turn is unable to manage and handle riot situations, and the manner in which they do it is through reckless action, is what bothers me. That when I have investigation upon investigation, but we need to deal with root cause. So where does this arise from? Insofar as public order policing is concerned, so can that also just be spoken to, Chair? Because we Marikana happened precisely for that reason, amongst other things, except which is included but not limited to political interference. But in the main, is the inadequacy around POP. and another incident has taken place, for how long will this persist, and whether the recommendations that you make are actually being taken seriously by the powers that be as a means of corrective action, or are you making findings and then nobody is actioning them, or you're just being ignored?
Okay.
Thanks, Chair.
All right. Sure. There are two questions. Maybe we could respond to them, and then we'll move on to my other comrade from KZN.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honourable members, I think with regard to Scene 2, we've presented several times at the Portfolio Committee on Police. We have engaged extensively with the Treasury, the Ministry, in relation to the funding on the reconstruction of Scene 2. Because what happened was, after the Commission made recommendations in relation to that reconstruction, part of the recommendation was that we must get necessary funding for that. But in all our requests for funding with Treasury, Marikana has always been part of that request. We have had to use our baseline budget, which was not meant for that, to even conduct this investigation on Marikana, which affected us. And, you know, if you look at our annual report, you'll see that we've been having accruals of over 20 million rands in previous financial years, precisely because of some of those, including other constraints that we have. So from our side, we've done everything that we possibly could in trying to get the necessary funding to be able to do the reconstruction. However, we could not, because we are not getting the necessary funding, stop the investigation. So we continued with the investigation, and we were able to do what we could in terms of investigation without doing the reconstruction. So our team who are investigating this matter would meet on a weekly basis with a team of NPA prosecutors who are seized with this matter. And then because of that challenge of funding, then the prosecution team decided that because most of the issues that they wanted us to do as an investigating team were done, then they decided that they would rather go through all the evidence that we've amassed in relation to that matter, because it is quite an extensive investigation with a huge number of evidence that we've collated. So they decided that they would go through that, and then after they've gone through that, they will decide, based on the evidence that is in our dockets, decide whether they will be able to prosecute anyone or not on the matter of the 16th. And if not, then they will also advise us what the way forward would be, also in relation to whether we should still continue to the reconstruction of Scene 2. We've also had to do a presentation to a, I think they call it a reference group, that is advising the Minister of Police in relation to public order policing. That was established precisely because of the Marikana. I think it's headed by Judge Njangase. And we also talked to this issue. He also had the same question to us about, but why is it that this reconstruction is not happening? We gave the same explanation, and we've also indicated the issues that have been raised by the judge to the NPA prosecutors dealing with this matter. So from where we're sitting now, it's to get a way forward after the NPA has concluded looking at this evidence that we have, to say how do we then move forward on the issue of the reconstruction.
Were these recommendations not binding? there was some latitude of sorts. But I'm just trying to gauge the seriousness of the implementation, which was it discretionary or they were stated as a matter of must be done.
Chairperson, I think as far as we are concerned, we were supposed to do the reconstruction. The only problem that we had is that we didn't have the necessary funding to do it. In relation to the NPA, they decide on prosecution. So from how I understand it, they can decide if they think they have good evidence to even proceed without doing the reconstruction, then they would do so.
I think let's leave the NPA out, because the commission said there should be a reconstruction of scene 2, and the NPA say we'll decide whether to prosecute without that reconstruction or not. Now that's a deviation, very, very unpalatable and unacceptable deviation, but I hear you, it's none of your business, that's what they're saying, but it does not distract from that point. So maybe if you could talk to the other part of his question, which was of a more generic nature, so that we can then move to...
Point of order, Chair. But we should also be cautious to want to take the one side of the story from the IP and not get the story from NP and come to a conclusion. I would caution against that, because this is an IP story. We have never called NPA in front of us. And to demean other institutions of government can be very problematic. So let's just hear what they are saying, but let's not dig too much, because it would then mean NPA must come and explain the story. And that's not our territory, that these institutions must come in front of us for those particular reasons.
All right. No, that's fine. I think for me, the issue is not even NPA. That's why I'm saying let's leave it out. The issue is reconstruction of scene 2, which has not happened because there is no funding. That is what must happen. What the NPA will decide or not decide, I think it's something else.
But, Chair, I'm just saying, if the NPA is treasury, it's the ministries. They can't come in front of SCOP and come and explain this thing. And we are getting to be informed only by IP, which we have invited. But if you want to open up that story, we must say so. Because then we must get to be told by all 3 to 4 institutions what is exactly going on with this particular issue. It can't be one-sided story. That's all I'm questioning about.
All right. No, that's fine. I think that's why I'm saying the issue is EP does not reconstructed scene 2. That is the point. It has not happened. Why it has not happened, how it has not happened, we don't know. That's why Tlengwa said, can we get the trail of communication so that it is not just what they say to us. But I want you to talk to the second part of his question.
No, Chair, I was going to object against Tlengwa, because it's not the duty of SCOP to get into the Marikana issues. And now he's asking us to open up to the Marikana issue and get into it. And that is not what SCOP is made for.
Well, I would want us to let's leave it at that point, because it is the second time that IPID has spoken to the Marikana issue as part of the work that they are doing.
With all due respect, I would really hate to be misrepresented. I am certainly not, whilst I'm interested in the matters of Marikana in a broader and general manner, for the purposes of this exercise, I raise the issue that I'm raising because precisely it has been raised with us before, and it remains a money issue. And all of the paper trail I'm seeking is to interrogate as to whether IPID's conditions to do its work have been favorable or otherwise. We will leave it to all the other powers that be to do that. I'm certainly not pointing to us now becoming an investigator, because that would make us a player and a referee. but IPED has brought this matter to our attention before. Unless, of course, then we're saying that this presentation is a cosmetic exercise, then you can say that. But I'm speaking to the presentation.
That's misrepresentation of facts, Commissioner. And I don't think he's got the right to abuse me like that. He can't do that. He's misrepresenting me.
All right.
I mean, I've got all the right to talk in the committee, and he's not my spokesperson.
No, that's fine. And I'm sure he would also feel he has a right to talk. So let's leave it at that. Let's talk to the issue of public order policing. Because I think it arising from that discussion on Marikana, but of course he has taken a specific case of that student from Dwarsloop in Bushbuck Ridge who was shot at TUT.
Thank you, Chair. I think with regard to public order policing, as I've indicated that after the Marikana, there was this reference group appointed at the ministry level to look at the issue of the public order policing and how is it done by the SAPS and advise the ministry. And I indicated that we engaged with the team led by a Judge Njang Ase on this issue. And we had previously also made some recommendation in relation to the issue of the public order policing some few years back, where they came up also when there were a lot of protests. I think it was in the Mpumalanga area, and there were people being shot and wounded in that area. So we've made a recommendation in that regard. I don't think those recommendations were specific to that issue. For instance, they related to how the issues of firearms they use for rubber bullets and so forth, how they are issued, and the fact that members of the public order policing should be easily be identified. You know, for instance, they should have numbers on their helmets and their gear, so that if there are allegations that someone has done something wrong, you can be able, a person can be able to say this is the specific person who has done something wrong. Because part of the problem has always been the identification of those that have alleged to have done wrong. If members would remember, for instance, the matter that happened in Free State of who was this guy? Andries Tatani, you know, where there was an issue as to who was responsible for his death, and we had to rely on the own members to try and identify who the officer is who, or officers who actually shot him. So those are the issues that we also made specific recommendation on. I have not seen a change in terms of the gear. Maybe it could have been done, but I'm not aware of the changing of that. So, but what I understand is that this team that is working with the ministry is supposed to do a comprehensive report that will then be able to deal with the issue of public policing in the country and how to ensure that the events of Marikana do not happen again. In relation to the TUT student, we are still busy with that investigation. I don't think the members involved were public order policing members in this specific incident. But it's the matter that it's still at an early stage. We're still busy with that investigation.
Thank you, Chair. As always, I have a number of things. But let's start off with the most interesting. Mr. Masuku, sorry, Mr. Sisuku, Matthew, sorry. I was looking at your spider to come, and I was thinking, bring it here, Masuku. We'll get on to him just now. A lot of your presentation focuses on the relationship between Keith Keating and the SAPS. And Patlani and FDA and et cetera, et cetera. Do you think, therefore, that it, that the SAPS should be extremely careful about doing business with Mr. Keating or any company related to. Let's have a conversation. Mrs. Sorgan, you can answer now.
Chairperson, we've already made recommendation to the SAPS in relation to the issue of doing business with Kit. Generally, our approach is that once we do an investigation against or where we pick up a corrupt relationship or allegations of corrupt relationship with any service provider, we always caution SAPS to review their position in terms of doing business with that service provider.
But given the developments over the past year, you would imagine a certain amount of caution. Yeah. Those developments were exposed here and have been driven largely by SCOPA and, of course, yourselves. So have you ever heard of a company called Manta?
Yes, we've heard of the company Manta Forensics.
Have you heard of Solve Forensics? Solve, as in I'll solve the problem.
No, we have not picked up Solve Forensics.
All right, that's unfortunate, and I think you need to take some notes now. Okay. I'll fill in the gaps which you're obviously about.
My colleagues will also assist.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Okay, let me tell you the story. For the past 20 years, a company called Manta Forensics has been supplying DNA testing kits, sampling kits, to the SAPS. All right? That contract recently went out on tender. Okay? And for whatever reason, Manta were not responsive and didn't submit any tender documents. So, guess who did? Sol Forensics. And who are the directors of Sol Forensics? Yolanda Mayer and Keith Keating. So Keith Keating, I'm sorry, Chair, if I laugh, but it's almost comical. Keith Keating, who is suspected as being involved in 5 billion rands worth of fraudulent transactions with SAPS, has pretty much just landed another contract, which unfortunately the contract value at the moment, maybe the colleagues at the back there can help, is unspecified at the moment, to supply all the DNA sampling kits. So there you go, you heard it here first at SCOPA. Take some notes, and I certainly hope you'll make some recommendations to act on that. And Chair, that's the bombshell to start with, is that Mr. Keating is still happily doing work with the SAPS despite all the nonsense that's been going on. The other questions I have for you, if we go to your spider web, and I just want to run through the various people, because your spider web, which is on
what page is that?
It's page 10, Chair, of the presentation. You've got the spider web in front of you there, all right? So we know what you're doing with Paslani. Let's stop there for a second. When do you expect to be back in court on the Paslani matter? Do you have any sort of time frame?
We are expediting that matter. We hope to be back in court by October.
Okay. Now, we know about General... We move across on the spider web. We know about General Shezi. Okay. Once again, we were lucky to have done that chair as well. General Shezi, as far as you know, so General Shezi was caught red-handed. Her building project was paid for by Nseka Solutions, which once again is connected to Jeronique Bayard, which is connected to Keating. Okay? Remarkable. And the people talk about the Guptas. And she, as far as you know, other than a suspension, nothing's happened. Is that correct?
That's correct. The information we have now is that...
no disciplinary...
She's been suspended.
Suspended. So effectively, she's on a paid holiday. Okay. Great work if you can find it. Right, then we've got, and I'll give you the names, General Cruiser, General Ramakorsi, my favorite, General Skitter, General Nelson. All of those have been involved in contraventions of the PFMA, and one could also argue the prevention of corrupt, Convention on Combating Corrupt Activities Act. Has any action been instituted against them? And also Brigadier Masuku. As far as you're aware, any disciplinary action so far other than your investigations?